Today's pregame show is brought to you by Microsoft.
Pro Bowl voting wrapped up last week, and the Broncos got to vote for their favorite players. Denver hoping to get a few selections of their own, too. The roster will be announced this Tuesday, and of course, you can see some of the defensive players there hoping to get their own selections. A no-fly zone certainly will be represented in the Pro Bowl. Of course, I'd like to be playing in the Super Bowl, not having to go down to Orlando. And the no-fly zone has been great once again, but it's been the run defense that's been the issue of late. And looking at that Titans game last week, they gave up 180 yards on the ground against the Titans. And, of course, they were dealing with some injuries at the linebacker position. Brandon Marshall was out in that game. Todd Davis had to go out, but the backups came in and played well, and you can take a look at some of the numbers here. Overall, they're third. In the passing game, they're first, and then the rushing game, they're 29th. And bigger backs have given Denver fits this season. And today, 250-pound LeGarrette Blount will be here, and with some of this cold weather, you're sure to see plenty of Blount, and the Broncos defense knows that they have to address this issue.
It's the players. You got to have a mindset to be able to play the run. You got to be expecting it. You can't go one for one. We got to beat our individual matchups and be able to help out on the tackle, and that's some of the things that we have to do to shore up the ring game.
We got to win up front. It's about guys up front winning their one-on-one battles. And it's not too much I can affect the game on, not too much Keith can affect the game on when they do that.
But this ring game thing, you just got to come out keep being physical. Me personally, I'm just, if I know it's a run play, I'm trying to blow everything up. I'm trying to be as disruptive as possible, blow up pullers, all that. If I can make the play, I'm going to make the play.
Tom Brady will obviously garner a lot of the attention for the Patriots today, and rightfully so. But if you look at this New England team, the defense has improved, and specifically in points per game. They're third in the league there. Andrew Mason breaks down the film.
Thanks, Phil. And you know what's interesting about the Patriots' defense? If you look at them across the board in terms of stats, they're really not much better than they were last year, except in one key area, the biggest key of all, and that's scoring defense. But how are the Patriots getting there? Well, part of it is that they simply know how to defend specific situations. Now, let's start right here. Let's start on this play where Joe Flacco is sacked. And this is very simple. You've got third and six, and Patriots have five, but then you've seen they drop two men, so it's a three-man rush. They get to him with coverage. What you can't see on this replay, and is evident on the All-22, they're defending heavily at the sticks. You have a cluster of defenders, five defenders, within two to 3 yards of the line to gain. So they're basically saying, okay, Joe Flacco, we're going to take away that reliable aspect. You move the chains type pass. You're either going to wait for your receiver to get open and go deep, or you're going to have to get outside the pocket. He can do neither. They get the sack. Later on, let's go to this play here, this incompletion pet on third and seven. Similar situation. Again, you see here a cluster of defenders all around the sticks, forcing Flacco to settle for the underneath route. It doesn't work out. Again, the Patriots do a very good job of defending to exactly what you need to get. Defend the sticks. Keep you from getting that underneath completion for first down, for, again, force you to go short or deep or have the quarterback take off. Finally, watch what happens here on this interception in the second quarter on Monday night. Second and nine, Joe Flacco going deep. And you see the two defenders here. Now what happens, you can't see it here, but Mike Wallace, the receiver, when he runs his route, he's unobstructed for 15 yards. The Patriots basically bait Joe Flacco into this throw by playing off of him. And then as Mike Wallace gets deep, the two defenders converge. That's where you get your interception. So this is something they like to do. They like to show one thing, do another. You saw it earlier. You bring five men to the line of scrimmage. You end up rushing three, dropping everyone back. The Patriots, they're masters of disguise. They're masters of knowing what the situation is, knowing what you have to do. Something the Broncos have to be on point for today, guys.
Thank you very much, Mace. I'm sure they'll have plenty of disguises set up for Trevor Siemian and the Broncos offense today. Plenty of great matchups all across the field. And Matt Boyer earlier this week had a chance to catch up with CBS's Phil Sims to get his thoughts on today's game.
just finishing up their week of practice, and the CBS broadcast crew is also finishing up their week of preparation, and we're lucky to be joined by CBS color commentator Phil Simms. And Phil, coming into this game, typically we talk about these two offenses. They're usually high-powered, but it's the defenses that are playing extremely well leading up to this game. What have you seen from these two groups on tape?
Well, it's amazing, I think, the difference from last year's championship game to what we see now. I think the Patriots' offensive line is probably better than it was last year, which was a real problem in the championship game. I think their defense is actually better, too. And, you know, for the Broncos, a different offense, a different quarterback, to say the least, and Trevor Siemian over, instead of Peyton Manning. And I think the only thing is the Broncos' defense, the run defense hasn't been quite what we expect or it has. But I think just, I'm getting the feeling, and just after watching last week's game after the start, that it's starting to shape up. And, you know, veteran teams, something happens to them late in the year. They get more energy, veteran teams, because they know that's what. And other teams that are kind of maybe a lot of young guys in key positions, they get tired and don't understand that you got to pick up the pace. So this game's going to be outstanding. And all this thing said, I'm still looking forward to watching first and foremost, the Denver defense against the Patriots offense.
This rivalry has been defined by quarterbacks largely, and Trevor Siemian's going to get his first shot in this matchup. In the weeks leading up to it, the Broncos offense hasn't performed as well as it would like, but have you seen any progress from Trevor in these past couple of games?
I mean, big time, big time. I mean, I'm going to talk about it a lot on Sunday. I think, he's exceeded my expectations for him this year. I honestly didn't think it was going to be as rough as far as physically for him. I think he's taken a lot of hits. The offensive line has struggled at times. So he's hung in there. He's fought through some injuries. And, we did the game when they were down in New Orleans, and I said it on the air. I mean, this is a beating. He took a beating, and he hung in there. And that's what you got to do. So he's overcome adversity. He survived it. He's played well. So his confidence has got to be high. And I think the confidence that the coaches and the players, I can tell, the players respect him and they believe in him. And right now he's a totally different quarterback than I saw when I came out here week two when he played the Colts.
Sustained success has defined these two franchises for the past half decade or more. And so is it a surprise to you that the AFC Championship or the AFC playoffs largely depends on what's going to happen in the next couple of games with each of these two teams?
Well, no. I think unless there was some catastrophe, which did not happen, I think before the season started, everybody says always pick a team, and it was hard to ever get past the Patriots in Denver. One, they have superstars, and when you have superstars and you get enough of them, that's going to carry you through a season, because those superstars, even when the team is not playing well, they make plays that win games. I mean, just think of the times when it comes down to the end of the game. And the Broncos defense is out there. What happened? Oh, Von Miller gets a sack. There we go. We won. Think about the Super Bowl. When the situation arises for the offense or defense on great teams, those guys make plays. And, man, there are a lot of big-time all-pro stars in this game. And I'm glad to be a part of it.
Our thanks to Phil Simms and the entire CBS broadcast crew. Looking forward to hearing their call at 225 Mountain. One of the most interesting things, though, Phil, that I thought I took away from that conversation with Phil Simms was the fact that he's so high, so enthusiastic on Trevor Siemian. It's something that the coaches saw, his progression. The coaches saw it in training camp. His teammates have seen it all season long. And now the national media finally taking note of what this guy can do.
Yeah, that's right, Matt. A couple of 300-yard games will certainly garner some attention. And now today's Broncos inactives, Austin Davis, Khalif Raymond inactive. We've seen him back there at returner the past couple of weeks. Lorenzo Doss, Brandon Marshall miss his second straight game. Vontarius Dora, Connor McGovern, and then the surprise here, Tyson Brilo out today. Billy Turner up for him, and the Broncos will certainly miss Brandon Marshall's presence out on the field. He'll be out today. Earlier this week, though, he had a chance to get out into the community. It's something that he vowed to do more of this season.
A symbol of respect and growth. Brandon Marshall and Denver Police Chief Robert White walked into a community event together on Monday night, put on by the Denver Dream Center.
I think Brandon is an outstanding young man. I think he has a purpose. For me, it's not a fact whether you agree or disagree with the kneeling. What's important is that it's something that he stands for. And I had asked him, okay, now after you do the kneeling, what are you going to do? And he says, hey, I'm going to volunteer some time. I'm going to volunteer some money. And he's done just that.
We had our talk early in the year, and, with me and him, I think we have a good relationship. We built a good rapport. I definitely want to get in the community more with him. and, you know, they invited me out, so it's all love.
Marshall, along with a handful of other Broncos players, were on hand at Mile High Station for a Christmas to Remember event. The night was an opportunity for fathers in correctional management facilities to celebrate the holidays with their families.
I thought it was a great cause, you know, to bring families together for the holidays and, you know, families that's maybe having some trouble, you know, whether they're on probation or whatever the case may be. So I thought it was huge. And, you know, I love to see all these faces, and they all seem excited. They all seem in the holiday spirit, so I'm happy.
I think it's a big event, man, especially, you know, acclimating fathers back with their family, man, me being raised by my father and wanting to aspire to be a better father than he was. And so I think it's huge to come out here and just to be able to get back and see smiles on people's faces and to be able to come out here and be in the community and interact with people and show them that we're just as human as they are, man. It's a huge event.
I've been a part of this organization a little bit since I've been here, Denver Dream Center. Some good people involved with the organization. They do a great job of reaching the community. I've gone out and knocked on doors with them on Christmas Day and just handed out gifts. So it's awesome. It's awesome to see people, meet people, and give back to the community.
The Broncos will be busy in the community this week. It's that time of year. About 90 kids from the Boys and Girls Club will be at the Broncos training facility tomorrow for a holiday party. And the snow here today is appropriate considering who is in attendance. Not the Patriots, but Olympic skiers and snowboarders who are standing by with Matt Boyer.
We are hanging out here in the south end zone with a couple of Broncos fans. We're here with Gretchen Blyler, Chris Klug, Chris Davenport, Jeremy Bloom. These guys are here representing Jazz, Aspen, Snowmass. But before we get to that, guys, I know you have all competed. You guys have business ventures in Colorado. Do you guys have any favorite Bronco memories, any moments that kind of stick out in your head?
98 Super Bowl, John Elway, you know, selling out his body. Remember that? He dove for the end zone, the big 360. And with this look on his face, he was not going to be denied that Super Bowl ring.
That was as good as it gets.
Yeah.
That was your team, Jeremy?
Oh, yeah. Always, yeah.
Now, you used to play NFL football, so I know you've seen this Broncos defense. Would you like to go up against that no-fly zone?
I would love to, man. Yeah, you always want to go against the best.
Yeah. You always want to. You're always a competitor.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, you guys have all spent a lot of time. Some of you live in Aspen. Yeah. What does that community take away from that Jazz Aspen Snowmass event? What does that event mean to the community, and how important is it to get Bronco fans out there?
That's one of my favorite weekends of the year, Labor Day and Snowmass, and quite a lineup this year. But it's such a fun party, and, you know, we'll get 10,000 people there for a fun weekend of music and mountain biking and hiking, and it's
that lineup and just that the most gorgeous place in all of the world, and then it's such an intimate setting too. You can see some of the best acts just like right there. It's so personal.
If people have never been to Aspen, what's the one thing that they need to know about Aspen?
There's so much. I mean, you can go out into the deep mountains and feel like you're in the middle of nowhere, or you can be in town and eating at some of the best restaurants, going into art galleries. You basically have anything you could ever want right there. But I would recommend go mountain biking, get into those mountains, and then go see the music.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you guys spending some time with us. If you want to get involved with Jazz Aspen Snowmass, there's a special deal, axs.com/Denver Broncos. You can buy tickets before they go on sale to the public. The first 50 people to buy tickets, sideline passes to the Broncos January 1st game. So you got to have a ticket, though. But if you are one of those 50, you get a sideline pass. It's pretty cool. You get to be up right against the players, right?
That's going to be unbelievable. January 1st, right?
January 1st.
This is a big day.
Oakland Raiders are in town. Oh, so you want to – yeah, exactly. There we go. These guys know.
These guys know.
Go already on. Huge Broncos fans. Guys, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Make sure to check out Jazz Aspen Snowmass. And, Phil, they told me it will not be this cold in Aspen during that Labor Day weekend. They promise, okay?
It'll be this sunny.
Thank you very much, Matt. Looking forward to that event coming up on Labor Day. And, hey, Jeremy Bloom, he knows how to handle himself out on the football field. And let's check out our trivia question one more time now. We'll give you the answer. With 75 receiving yards today, Demaryius Thomas will have 5 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons to represent the second longest streak in Broncos history. Who sits in first place? I'm sure Mace would have known this. Rod Smith. 6 years he did it, 1997 to 2002. We're getting closer here to kickoff.
One more segment left on the BTV Live pregame show. Here's another look at what's coming up in the stadium